You are listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Walking the Plank with Pippa and Dave.
And welcome to Walking the Plank with Pippa and Dave. And the wonderful Pippa is in Florida, and I am seeing her on the camera. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is over there, Pippa. How you doing, love?
1600 hours, and you're late as usual, but how are you, Dave? And how are our listeners? Are they?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Miss Grumpy.
You're only late because it's snowing. Ha, 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 and it's not here. I wish it was, but it's not. Anyway.
Yeah, no, we have a little 8-year-old girl who's been very excited because it has been sneezing snow for the last few days. So we've had a little kind of, almost a, you wouldn't even call it a flurry of snow, and then it will disappear, and then it'll be a bit more. And so she's been very frustrated because she grew up in pretty much Mallorca. She was a baby in south of France, but in Mallorca, and she's never seen snow. So the thought of snow has been very exciting.
Sneezing snow.
Nuffles.
That's an interesting concept.
But this
reminds me of a song by Kevin Bloody Wilson, but never mind.
Kevin Bloody Wilson. Well, there's one we can't do on air.
Yeah, we cannot.
Haven't heard of him for years. For those of you who don't know him, Kevin Bloody Wilson, go to YouTube. He's a very...
go to YouTube and put sneezing Laurel. Snow. I don't know what you'll get, but it there is a theme to a song that he did about sneezing snow at Christmas. Anyway, we digress. What are we going to talk about today, David? Are we going to talk about 4G? Let's do 4G.
Well, I think it's a good time to talk about 4G because, as many of you know, and we're seeing it as well here at the station, it's that people they've got out of Christmas. They've got back to the boats in January. They've kind of been looking around, seeing what they're going to do. February, March, you're really pulling back the canopies. You're prepping proper for the season ahead. And it's this time the captains will be looking at what we're doing with communications. How much are we spending? What does the owner or guest need? And are we with the right people? What do we need to do going forward? And there's a lot happening. There's a lot of change been happening over the last few years. And
the last few years. It's more recent than that. In the last 3 or 4 months,
they would have been in the last few years. Yeah. So just saying technically, I would have been within, yes, but the last 3 or 4 months in particular.
Goodness me, guy. You do go on. You dribble sometimes.
Yeah, I'm prattling,
it's cold. Yeah. So the marketplace, as you know, as some of our listeners know, we're always in the forefront of what's looking what's new in the marketplace. We're always looking to find new options and find new ways to bring product to our end user. And the 4G marketplace has been very progressive in especially the last couple of months. And some new deals and options that have come up. It's sort of culminated really in the last couple of days of us being able to announce that we have what we're calling the ultimate infinite 4G connection, which is giving us 53 countries globally unlimited data. Amazing. 53. When you consider this time last year, there was just wasn't there.
Well, it's the unicorn in the comms universe, isn't it? That unlimited SIM that you can roam on without being kicked in the butt. Because going back only a few years, I remember being on the bridge with the captain who had he would have to change SIMs going from country to country, and an oversight they had 3 or 4 SIMs in a box. An oversight, one or two of them weren't changed over. And so they were using a Spanish SIM in French territory or vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
And they got a bill of something like 17,000, which they were not expecting, that whatever the contract was, $500, $600 a month, I don't know. 17,000 really wasn't. And that was not an isolated surprise moment, that many captains have seen just an oversight and not realizing, you know, they've roamed at a time when roaming was very expensive.
Sure. So, I mean, the roaming side of it's changed dramatically. And of course, Brexit has sort of put the cat back amongst the pigeons in terms of the agreements that the major companies, especially in England, and we are talking particularly England and Europe at the moment. So, you know, the whole idea that the roaming agreements would stay in place are staying in place as far as I can make out. We have the finger on the pulse quite often, most of the time. That was a little caveat because you never know when it might. Yeah, but you never know when the odd one slips through.
Occasionally distracted.
Yeah, we have the So looking at it, I mean, basically the roaming, and I'm talking about handsets now, not because we understand that there's a difference between a modem and a handset, and that the networks are able to decipher that difference. So we've had unlimited roaming on our telephones and our things like that, you know, for a long, long time. And that, even the change in Brexit, shouldn't change that at the moment. That's the way it's looking. But the unlimited data on a modem-style device is, as you have rightly said, has been the unicorn for a long, long time. And, you know, we work with lots of partners, and we work with three particular networks directly. So, we're always in the front of looking at it. And it's quite radical that it's happened both on the US side for us and in the European marketplace for us in the last 3 or 4 weeks, that we've been able to secure deals that really give us true unlimited data in those marketplaces.
So, does that cover the Caribbean areas and the Med, or what zones are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, 53 countries. So it's a good corporate policy. It's unsteered.
So can I travel coast from Spain to Greece and be covered, or are there areas?
Yep.
Okay, well, Europe, pretty much most of the Med.
Including Turkey too, which of course is the real unicorn in the.
Yeah.
Turkey has always been in the cruising calendar. Turkey's been the really hard one. Even on the data limited sims, Turkey has always been a nightmare. The two countries in the world that are the real nightmares are Turkey and the Bahamas. You know, the Bahamas have their local sim tied up, and there's a couple of providers, a couple of people in the US that have that well and truly tied up. But they are, again, data limited type sims. There's no free. So the Bahamas is still a nightmare. The US sim that we're putting forward now has it is a US sim only, but it does have a data roaming package, which is $10 a day extra, which does also work in the Bahamas. Yeah, it's been a great thing, and we're getting a lot of people come to us now. In fact, I had one this morning. I need that. I've never even heard of the modem he's got. Something out of I'm still researching it, to be honest.
I've
never even heard of it. I'd have to go back and have a look at my email, but I spent 10 minutes briefly looking at it earlier, and I never even heard of it whatsoever. So I don't know where it came, you know, where that modem's come from.
Maybe from wish.com.
Conceivably.
I'm not taking the piss, but I've seen a lot of products that you just don't know. You've never heard. I can't even pronounce the brand. And there's a lot of those and things like wish.com that are coming out. And Costas did this. Costas bought me an Apple Watch. And he phoned me up. He said, I got you an Apple Watch. And Pippa's now holding up her Apple Watch. No, this was like something from 1950s Star Trek. It was, if you got the angle right, and you look straight down on the screen, you could actually think for 1 second, wow, that's an Apple Watch. But once you saw the depth of it, it was like, you know, the scuba diving watches, the big instrument panel ones, not the Rolex, but the ones with all the gauges.
I know.
It was like that. And they came from wish.com. Some of the stuff is great, but you can get...
I do notice that you don't have it on your wrist as we speak. So
I couldn't support it. I didn't have the muscular attributes to actually support the weight of this thing. You know the charger for Tesla cars?
Yeah.
Got a nozzle.
Was that what, well, who that, powered that, it? Yeah.
That's actually what you use for this watch. I mean, it was that big.
Yeah, okay.
You plugged it in, parked it for 20 hours, and it charged up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's even the kids will play with it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's cool. We've got to love Costas for that sort of thing. I hope he's listening. How are you out down there in Cyprus?
He's doing good. He's working from home at the moment, COVID responsibility. And he's okay. He's missing the yachting world.
I have a boat in Cyprus that I'm supposed to be visiting shortly. I'm not sure how we're going to get there, but, you know.
Well, we'll get Costas flock and go as you.
Yeah. No, it's a technical job. It's an annual service on a... Anyway, we digress, as we always do.
Yeah, that's the fun. You know what? We should
go with Dave on...
Little drop of music, and let's come back. What I would like to talk, wouldn't like to finish up about 4G, but also like to touch on 5G possibly, and the
We can do some
low Earth orbits as well, which might be interesting to bring into it. But for the moment, we're going to rely on you, the listener, not to leave us, to stay where you are. We're going to go to a bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to peck a little bit more at Pippa's brain. It's a short meal. It's more of an entree. You're listening to Walk the Plank with Pip and Dave back in a moment.
Welcome back to Pip and Dave on Super Yacht Radio. So before we went to the break, we were talking about 4G and some other stuff. But
we digressed. We were.
And so in essence, the 4G, 5G thing comes up all the time, of course.
This positions you, because I come from that world of VSAT and comms before we did radio. But so I still get the emails from different companies, the marketing emails, etc. And the 4G market is a very competitive market. There's quite a few players in there that are trying to sell different SIMs for different territories at different rates, etc., etc. A SIM card that covers 50 plus countries, unlimited data, that's a nightmare for your competitors.
It's out there, it's available, people can find it. I mean, our competitors can find it. In fact, I have to be honest and say that we've actually sold a couple of them to our competitors.
They're no longer competitors, are they?
Well, if you're going to, if you're going to have a competitor, you might as well be taking his money. I don't know if in the background the listeners can hear the noise in the background. We live very close to Jacksonville Airport in Florida, and it's a naval air station as well. So I've just had four jets take off and go onto Afterburner just above the house. Sorry if there was any noise in the background there.
Great, for especially for your arrhythmia or any other heart complaints you might have. It's always good to have that sonic boom as you're putting on your eggs. Your eggs, but there you go. But yes, before
pictures on the wall vibrate when they do it. So anyway, life is
super good.
I apologize. Anyway, so The situation is also, of course, I don't know I do know a little bit about the rest of the world, but certainly here in the US, the 5G marketplace is definitely picking up.
Well, this is what I was going to ask, because if I'm buying now, if I'm looking at buying a modem, et cetera, should I be looking at 5G technology?
So The main problem with 5G is range. You know, if you look at a 5G mesh network, the transmitters are much, much closer together. They're much smaller. You know, there's not the triangulation that you get with the 4G antennas.
It's a kind of huge range. It's the kind of difference between KU and KA on satellites. You know, if the more data you want to put down, the tighter the beam gets, or the shorter the range. It's the same with FM, you know, radio waves.
Yeah.
It's so a higher quality radio wave, but shorter distance.
Yeah. So in the future, I can see in the marine industry for sure, there'll be two types of modem on a boat. There'll be a 5G for short range and when you're close inshore and in the marina and things, and then there'll be 4G for when you get out.
Well, I have a 4G phone. I don't have a 5G phone yet, but I've had a 4G phone now for the Note 5 from Samsung, so I've had it a few years. And if I'm in town, if I'm within proximity, I'll get full 4G data. If I'm in a bit of a crappier reception area, that will drop down to, what is it, HS, PDA, or some...
Oh my goodness, really?
I can't remember.
I haven't seen that on a phone in years.
Oh yeah, well, it's an old phone.
Well, it's not necessarily the phone. It's the service that's being provided in the area too. So yeah.
Well, my point being that SIM in the modem of my phone will step down depending on the availability of that service. If 4G is not available, it steps down to whatever it can get. Will the 5G ones not do that? Would a 5G card not go?
Oh yeah,
out of 5G,
so, of course.
Now you're getting 4G, and it'll do it automatically.
Well, I mean, I'm like you, Dave. I haven't succumbed to the 5G phone as per yet. No, well, thank goodness for that too.
It's a blessing.
it is a blessing. I just couldn't. Anyway, so I have not succumbed to the
we'll talk about that later.
To the call of the 5G phone, although I wish I had. Again, where it's ironic where I live here in Jacksonville, we never got a very good 4G signal within the house. Outside wasn't bad, but within the house wasn't brilliant. And now, 3-4 weeks ago, they turned the 5G tap on in this area, and our 4G has gone down the window, become terrible. In the house, and as I said to you just now, we live within 3-4 miles of the airport, and the airport has no 5G coverage in the airport, or it's still only 4G. But I haven't really worked out why that is. Is it because of the naval air station and the, you know, not actually it's not a naval air station. It's Home Guard type unit that's stationed there. Naval Air Station Jax is a bit further away from us, and Mayport is a bit further away, but. Anyway, the 4G in the house has degraded somewhat since they turned 5G on in the area. And I know for a fact that both my eSIM on my iPhone and my UK 3 SIM, which is in the slot, are both 5G enabled. But of course, they only pick up the 4G that we have here because the phone itself, the device, is not 5G capable. So, yeah.
Okay, so... You've got a 5G SIM in a 4G phone.
Correct. So it's only ever going to, you know, the limitations are set by either the phone, the device, the card, or the network that you're in. So it's a combination of all three, really, to see what you can get. And likewise, there are next to no 5G available modems that are being used in the marine industry, apart from some of that stuff that, like you say, is coming out of wish.com. Mm-hmm. And this guy, that's Captain who approached us this morning. I'm doing some research on the modem that he's told me he's got. And in the brief 5 or 10 minutes that I had to look at it earlier on, I actually couldn't find the modem, you know, on the internet. So, it's not a recognized brand, so I don't know where he got it from. But you know, too, on the boat scenario, it's all to do with antennas as well. I mean, in 85-90% of the guys that are offering 4G service into vessels, apart from some of the specialist ones that have got their own antennas and stuff like that, are offering Peplink paint wave type equipment. And, you know, as do we.
No, they're good pieces of equipment. I mean, the Peplinks
absolutely brilliant.
They're brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
But it's the antenna that makes the difference.
Well, certainly. I mean, for instance, some of our listeners will know I was in Hawaii earlier on, just a couple of weeks ago.
I think you mentioned that to pretty much everybody, actually. I think you mentioned Hawaii.
Yeah, it was really nice. I'm not rubbing it into the people in lockdown in Europe. Me? anyway, Hawaii was beautiful. But, you know, the boat that we are dealing with that is out there currently at the moment, I mean, we had moved the antenna, one of the 4G antennas, from the rails on top of the Monkey Island above the bridge. She's a commercial type ship, so she's not a yacht. But we had moved that antenna to the top of the mast and put it where the Iridium open port used to be. It was absolutely amazing. I've got the tracking data off of the, you know, because we use Peplink on it, and I've got the tracking. She was pulling 8 meg down on a T-Mobile SIM, 71 miles offshore.
71 now, miles?
70 miles on, 71 miles offshore.
Wow.
We didn't lose her on 4G for 8 days when they were out doing what they were doing. It was pretty phenomenal. And she was doing some mapping, some deep water mapping, and getting ready for some sub dives. 71 miles was the longest distance that we had her at. I'm not saying, of course, I am absolutely not saying that that's, you know, it's a fluke. It is. I mean, it's not the normal. Oh no. But it's just, you know,
well, for most
myself and my tech guys were looking at this and thinking, well, yeah, this can't be happening. This is wrong. And then you asked the captain to give us the radar distance off. You know, use his radar to tell us how far he was offline and off the land. And we're taking the nearest point of land. Who knows where the actual mast was at that point in time?
Yeah, but what we're talking about here is an Explorer-class vessel. Most pleasure crafts stay with...
They're not going to have the height of the mast. You know,
they're not going to have the height of the mast, nor do they have the necessity. And most of them don't go 71 miles off the coast with guest and owner support.
Yeah.
It was
a phenomenal range. I mean, we've always said that, you know, and in the past, some of the best mileage that we've seen in the past for regular runs is 40 to 45 miles. And we have a ferry that runs back and forth in the UK. We never lose that. And that's 60 miles.
Where is that going between? Is that England, that France, or?
Penzance and the Scilly Islands. You know, that's always in range. And we always get full bar signal on that. And it hands off, and that's great. We have tried that one with a 5G unit, which was a bit of a doctored up unit, if you like. It wasn't put in there as a commercial basis, it was put up as a trial, and it failed abysmally. So, you know, I mean, you've got to try this stuff to make sure that you find out.
Well, was that because it wasn't the correct antenna for that frequency range, or was it a distance thing?
Well, there wasn't an antenna available for it at the time. And so, yeah, it was a distance thing. So, and the service provider down there had only just put 5G in.
So when's 5G going to be an actual reality? I mean, you know, I know that...
Well, it is reality. I mean, 5G is reality.
I know it's in the middle of being rolled out, but you know there's so many areas that it's not in yet. I mean, it's got pockets in the med. I don't know. I mean, where is it with the rollout?
I don't think that's true. I think it's in a lot more places than we realize. But you know, a lot of people don't have it because they don't have either the SIM or the device that's capable of using it. My mother and father-in-law have got. They've got 5G devices, and it was working. Their 5G device was working here at our home a couple of weeks ago.
So if I'm a boat, I'm looking to get 4G or a mobile service on the boat, I should be looking at buying 5G equipment and or 5G ready equipment and 5G SIMs or what?
My belief is that my belief is that the range is going to screw you. I mean, it's it's, you know, if you're going to be in port all the time and using it in a marina scenario, you're probably better off just connecting up to the marina Wi-Fi or your existing 4G. I don't quite see the point of it at the moment. Mm-hmm. Unless you're wanting super, super, super fast stuff and you're only wanting it at short range, because that's the way it's going to be. But I think you'll find the signal is available in a lot of places. Just look at a coverage map for T-Mobile or for Vodafone or for, you know, if you just go to the place and look for 5G coverage, there's quite a bit of it about nowadays. It's not just the city areas where it was 18 months ago. It's in a lot of other areas. But is it a viable option for the marine industry? I don't know. I don't think so. Not until you've got proper antennas.
Not until you've got antennas for
and even then, there's always going to be. Then there's. I can imagine there's one or two of our listeners out there at the moment shaking their heads and going, "Oh, you know, 5G gave us COVID. You know, now we're showing our age." But let's go back to the original when mobile telephones first came out in the 80s. You know, that was, oh, you can't use a mobile phone, you're going to fry your brain and everything else.
They've been saying the same about wind farm turbines, that if you live near one, you can develop lung cancer, or you know, the electricity lines that go above your house, those big ones, your children will be deformed. Yeah. So there's always this bullshit.
And there's always I don't know that it's always bullshit either, is it? Well, I mean, there's always an aspect to it that...
No, I do get that, but it's one of those that's all as anecdotal stories. You don't know any, there's no actual, here's five people that developed this illness. It's always, oh yeah, I heard you can get cancer off that. From who? Oh, I just heard it.
Yeah. Where? Well, you know, what was the statistic I heard the other day? 1 in 3 of us in our lifetime is going to have cancer, you know? Where did you get it from?
All you got to do is find two people with cancer and hang out with them. And that way, that is overquoted, so you won't get it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But we digress again. And we always digress, Dave.
And at this point, it's always good to go straight to the music and give ourselves a chance to refocus, and give you a chance to go to the bathroom or get a drink or do whatever. But don't go for too long, because we will be back in a moment. You're with Pippa and Dave in the very caring and supportive hands for the next however long. Don't go away.
And here we are back on Super Yacht Radio with Pippa and Dave. And Dave wants to talk about Leo, and Mio.
You stole my line. I was about to do the intro there, and you just got in front of me.
Well,
talk to me about Leo. I had a great conversation with Jack Robinson from Super Yacht Technology magazine.
Yeah.
Gosh, got to be over a year ago. And he was all hot and excited about LEO, low Earth orbit satellites, and how they were going to radically change the industry and communications on board, and possibly even push out 4G and 5G, and LEO would be the way forward. What's your take? What's your finger on that pulse there, Pippa? Pippa's pulse. Hey, we could have a show called Pippa's Pulse.
Yeah, there you go. So, I think Jack was right. Yeah, whatever. I think Jack is right. You know, when it becomes fully integrated and working and perfect and everything else, it is radically going to change the way that we do stuff. I think it's the biggest step forward in the last 20 years of communication.
What's that benefit? I mean, are we talking high bandwidth, low latency? Is that the win? Or
yeah, exactly. I inverted commas, if you like, when it works properly, because
rabbit ears on radio doesn't really get the message across.
No, it doesn't. But it's, you know,
doing rabbit ears.
So
I
when
get you.
It works properly,
rabbit ears.
The concept is amazing. And yes.
Well, what's the difference in the concept between that and our beloved satellite constellations that give us VSAT at the moment.
Come on. I hope this is a rhetorical question.
Because we're trying to educate the listeners. So my role is to be, oh, so what does that mean? And then you go, well, yeah. Dave, sit down now and I'll tell you. That's the way it works, Pippa.
Yeah.
It's good cop, bad cop. We've got to play the role. So tell me, Pippa, what is it about Leo that it's so exciting? And why is it different to our standard satellites that we use for VSAT?
So if you can imagine, the idea is that each of the current networks that are looking to provide this service in the next 5, 4, 5, 6, 10 years, lifetime, whatever, we're talking about 650, 700, 800 satellites per provider. And there are a couple of them. So we're talking, you know, a couple of thousand satellites circulating around the Earth. In the standard, what we use currently, apart from Iridium, everything sits, all the satellites we're looking at sit just above the equator. I'll say just above the equator, considerable distance off. And so we point our antenna at a fixed point in that they're geostationary. So they move at the same speed as the Earth in rotation. So we're, for instance, if we're looking at 30 West, we know exactly where that is in the sky, and we point our antenna towards that. And hopefully nothing gets in the way of it in terms of mass or other things like that. And then we get a signal that comes back from it. Single point of contact, if you like, in the sky. And we, in the marine industry, use antennas that are three-axis balanced so that the antenna itself can move around all over the place, or the base of the antenna can move around all over the place, and the antenna at the center of the antenna points directly at it. Doesn't matter. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Easy to do. The concept of the LEO is that the satellites actually physically move, and they're moving in odd directions. So they're traveling all south, in effect. So, and of course, it's a mesh of them. So if you can imagine just a huge mesh of satellites all moving in the same direction with each other around the Earth, crossing at the poles and things like that. So, and it's all meshed off. So the satellites talk to each other, the satellites talk to the ground, and therefore the signal can be passed instantly. For all intents and purposes. So yes, correct. The latency comes right the way down.
So
the time it takes for the signal to travel from Earth to satellite back to the vessel is a third of the time that it takes for it currently.
Well, that's because the satellites are in a lower orbit. But
correct.
From what you're saying there, say I was in Ireland. And I was using the LEO system, and I wanted to send a message to, say, Australia. So currently, if I was to use, say, the Hughes satellite in Europe, and was it the N10 or something? Anyway, it would beam down in Germany and send my message over land. With LEO, would it recognize it's got to go to Australia, say, and the downstation
stay in the satellite network? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and then it lands it in Australia. Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. So
that's clever.
It will take out the ground. It will take out the land side of it. Minimize it. Yeah. So we pick the telephone up nowadays, and we make a phone call to wherever. Let's say we make a phone call to Australia. It much depends it depends on a lot of things, but 9 times out of 10, that signal that phone line that you're picking up is actually going to go through satellite, and it'll go through C band somewhere. So we're using the existing network all the time. In time to come, so it's going, the signal's going along the land, up the satellite, back to land, along the land to the phone that you're using.
But we also have a cable from Ireland to America that takes a lot of our...
Yeah, sure. There is that. Well. Yeah, there is cable. And so when that cable was put in, the demand was not real numbers, but let's say it was 10,000 users when the cable went in. Now you're looking at 1 million users, and the cable isn't big enough. If you know, if you, so it doesn't deal with it. So now with the companies have to route them
data as well.
Yeah,
the traffic and is much more.
And so the telephone companies have to choose how they route that traffic and where it goes. So some of it goes to satellite, some of it goes through cable, some of it's hard to know. And, you know, that's why when you're on a telephone call, the quality of that call changes. You can sometimes it's brilliant and sometimes it's not. It's got a lot better in the last 4 or 5 years. But, you know, if you go back 5, 10 years ago, you could quite often get a landline call that sounded like some of the WhatsApp calls and things that you get nowadays, that distant echoey, why do I about the call? You know, I mean, technology just is coming on leaps and bounds all the time. I mean, if you think of Leo, I just had a sudden rush through my head because I've just recently done a network in our house. And not that we have a massive house, but it's quite spacious, we say, in terms of volume. So we have a Wi-Fi network inside the house, a Wi-Fi 6 meshed network inside the house. And so that's basically how Leo is going to work. So it's the quickest routing, the switch will work out which way it is fastest to switch that data to get it from point A to B. And we're talking milliseconds. Mm-hmm. So milliseconds, nanoseconds. For it to make its mind up on how that traffic travels around within inside the house environment, we say on Wi-Fi 6, which is it's gigabit. It's really fast. In fact, our Wi-Fi 6 network's faster than the cable network in the house, which is all pretty irrelevant, really, because it's in a house.
We could all bring our boats to your house, then, can't we? When do you think Leo might start becoming a reality? I mean, are we seeing a Leo ready antennas and things like that?
No, not currently.
So we're a number
not,
of
not for marine, not for marine base. There's a current discussion with one of our manufacturers that we prefer. We're having a discussion at the moment about some of them and the potentials for testing it. So if you can imagine these, well, so go back to what we were talking about, whereby currently when you're on the ship at sea, the antenna, the base can move, the ship can roll and move all over the place, and it moves in three axes, as we well know. The center of the antenna sends a signal beam to the satellite. It locks on that frequency, the modem locks it, and therefore as well as the fact that the antenna is being driven by motors and things to stay looking at that position, there's a lock, a frequency lock there to ensure that it stays on the same satellite. So now take the scenario of Leo, that satellite, that the antenna is actually two antennas in one. So basically the first antenna tracks the satellite as it comes over the horizon. It tracks it, tracks it, tracks it, tracks it all the way through the sky. So it's now physically moving. And then when it loses it, the second antenna and the second beam inside the antenna has picked up the next satellite in the row, because these satellites, they're moving in a circle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one behind the other. There's a train of them. It's a train. You'll have seen the things on Facebook and wherever, where people, you can see the satellites
I've actually seen it on UFO sites where people have seen it looks like two long streaks or three or four or five of them and thought, this is a convoy of UFOs, and it's actually the new constellation going up.
Yeah, exactly. So what's happening is that these two antennas antennas inside the one, if you go, you know what I'm saying, there's two antennas inside the one dome. So the first one follows it, the second one picks the next one up as the first one loses it, the first one comes back to become the second one, becomes the trailer, so on. And it picks it up. Now throw into the fact that that base is all moving, is in its three axes, that's a lot of things for it all to be doing. Yeah, a lot of moving parts. And that that is not a commercially available antenna currently. And from all intents and purposes, from what we're the information we're gleaning from some people that we're talking to in the right places, the information we're getting back is that this gigabit connection that everyone is expecting us to get from the sky is more like 5 to 10 megabits at the moment. In the
bit of an anticlimax, Pippa.
Well, it is, but you know, come on, think back to when we first started messing with VSAT in, you know,
10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was 32 kilobits per second, and then you got the 64 kilobits, you know, upgrade.
You're going back that far.
Right. I'm going back. Well, that's when we started, isn't it?
Well, yeah, remember,
that's
when we started. Handshake, listening to the handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Hoping that it'll connect and negotiate. You don't know what we went through.
I was flabbergasted the other day in an airport a couple of weeks ago somewhere, and I heard the handshake, you know, the modem handshake. And I'm thinking, what? It was somebody's ringtone on their phone. No, it was a ringtone on a phone. I looked at it, and I looked at the guy whose phone it was, and there was this sort of instant look of recognition between us. Yeah.
You understand.
We giggled. I mean, there was this, we didn't actually physically talk, but we sort of smiled and giggled at each other across the room. It was, I actually understood what that meant. It was interesting.
And listeners, if you're out there, if you're this person in that bar with that ringtone, please contact us here at Super Yacht Radio. People would like to say hi. I think we've achieved what we need to achieve today. We've got the governance of it. Great. I think it's great for you and the company, and especially the industry, that there is a 52 country SIM that's now available with unlimited data. That's makes a huge difference to just the ease of using a service, and of course the finances, because
and you can of course find us online, and you know we're on LinkedIn and Facebook, and we link with you of course on CPU Radio, and you can find us out there.
What's your website?
I have no idea, mate. I've forgotten. We agreed that we wouldn't. We agreed that we wouldn't do this. Make this a commercial thing.
True.
You know, this is educational. So
it's educational, but if you're telling people they know who you are, they have to know who you are first.
They can find us. We're out there, along with all the other users and other providers that are out there, who I have to hasten to add give amazingly good service.
How human of you.
Some not as good as others and some better than others.
And this is where we say goodbye. Thanks for being with Pippa and I for the past hour or so. I hope you've learned something from it. I know I have. And Pippa, take care of yourself. Don't overwork yourself. I know it's very busy for you at the moment. And I'll catch you next week on Walking the Plank with Pippa and Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Yep.
Stick with us. We've got more coming up. Take care of yourselves, be good to each other, and of course, stay safe. You're listening to Pippa and Dave signing off from Walk the Plank.
Walking the Plank with Pippa and Dave. You are listening to Super Yacht Radio.